103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. Good afternoon. Hello, 103.2 Dublin City FM. It is The Sod Show with Brian Green, Peter Donegan and Katrina Redmond. It's one of those shows, another show with Peter Donegan on the phone line. Hello, Peter.
Brian, how are you? Good to hear your voice again. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Happy New Year. We're into February and we can still say Happy New Year because you haven't done one of these interviewee type programs before this year. So, yes, how was your Christmas, Peter?
Christmas is good. By the way, we are recording in February. Just to clarify that this isn't a pre-record that we did in December. But no, Christmas is good. New Year's is good. I think the last time we spoke, I'm open to correction this one, Brian, was it the lashings of rain that we had in which we were talking?
The last time on air that we spoke, because obviously we spoke, you know, off air between you and me. But on air, the lashings of rain, yes.
So we've kind of come out of that. We had I think we've probably gone to another one of Ireland's famous seasons. It's a bit like that T-shirt, isn't it? The Four Seasons in One Day, which also reminds me of the Four Seasons of Vivaldi for some reason or another. But we're now gone into the sub-zero temperatures and a little bit frozen grass. There's a dog barking in the background, which you may hear, but that thing happens when you work outside for a living, and there's nothing I can do about that, so there you go.
Is that Vivaldi or Frankie Valli? I can never tell which Four Seasons you're talking about. But anyway, last week's programme and the week before, quite interesting. Eugene Higgins was your guest, and he's lots of opinions on just about anything.
Yeah, he has, and you might call him opinions, but he's also, like, again, I know Eugene a long, long, long time. I know him since I was a young chappy and a young pup, and before I probably went out under my own name in the landscape and trade, and equally he was kind of doing something a little bit different as well. But to be fair to Eugene, you might call it opinion. You might also turn around and say, well, yeah, most of what he says is probably bang on the money, if I'm quite honest with you. Opinion, maybe. Saying it like it is probably the other way to say it, but no, he's one of life's good guys. He's been at it a long time, a bit like myself. He's seen a lot of trends come and go, and that's just the way it is. So opinions, yeah, he would have, I would, you have as well, so would Katrina, so would most people in the heart industry, to be fair to it. I think he just laid his cards on the table, and I wouldn't disagree with a whole lot of them.
We're in the radio business, so having opinions is actually an asset, not something to take away. He was on the afternoon show. There's a whole generation of people who work in the daytime, in 9-to-5ers and whatever, wouldn't know the afternoon show, but you gardeners work all sorts of weird hours, so I'm sure you've caught him on TV, or did you set the VHS recorder to record him on the afternoon show back in the day?
Well, back in the day, it would have been Jerry Daly, who's also a former guest of the show. He would have been, I guess, around the start of the 80s and then kind of moved into radio. And to be fair, it's one of the things myself and Eugene touched on. We really haven't had a dedicated Irish garden television programme in this country in a long time. There tend to be some slots within shows, and equally radio has suffered a similar fate. The Sod Show, as we're well aware, for the last 4 years this March, has been Ireland's only full-time garden radio show in the country. And when you look at what BBC did at the start of this year, which was the Great British Garden Revival and Britain's Best Back Gardens, in January, two garden television programmes of serious high quality, Brian, going back to back, one from BBC to UTV. And they've still got BBC Gardeners Question Time running full time. Like, you know, apart from those two institutions that I was reared with, BBC Gardeners Question Time on the go literally since just about the turn of the century, if you check their Wikipedia page, that and Match of the Day, and they are done so well. And we noted regularly on our Sod Show Twitter account that we do tune in to BBC Gardeners Question Time. It's a different model, it's a different level, but it is that good, and they are miles above us for a very, very, very good reason, but also on a different plateau or a different plane as well. I don't think we're comparable at all. But
can I ask you a question about listening to Gardeners Question Time on the BBC? Would you like religiously listen in every single week, and do you catch it on the radio waves of Radio 4, or would you fish it out on a podcast in this day and age?
No, in this day and age, podcast, their intro, funnily enough, for those who have never heard it, is a very eloquent suggestion that welcome to a download of BBC Gardeners Question Time. You can return to the garden in 45 minutes, and it kind of gives me that very wonderful, beautiful old school feel of having to turn in and tune in by the fireside in seasons like we are in now, but also sitting by the wireless to tune in for it. And out in Ballybohol, where I am, the reception for BBC Radio 5 Live when I'm listening to football matches, still I prefer it by radio, and equally BBC Gardeners Question Time, it just isn't that good. They also air, I should note, the same time as us on a Friday. So I think when we had James Wong on, if you remember correctly, there was a little bit of banter to and fro, because James was on our show and he was also on their show at exactly the same time on exactly the same day. So look, it's all good. It's horses for courses. It really, really is. But we are still Ireland's only full-time garden radio show.
My claim to fame is one of those intros for the BBC podcasts. I did one for Up All Night once. This is a download from the BBC. For more information on our podcasts, visit Pods and Blogs. Yeah, I did one of them once. That's just once. They didn't have me back.
Come here, while I have you on the phone, we're talking about everybody else's radio show instead of ours, not to sound in any way selfish. What exactly happened to us over the Christmas, just to explain to those who were in, I guess, who tune in by podcast, as I would do for BBC's, we did have a mild hiatus, not on radio, but we did in podcast, Brian.
Yes, we would have had a couple of repeats in the radio world, and then there's no point if they already exist on podcast, why repeat them again? So I think we let the podcast off, not having to be told, well, this week you're getting a repeat, and you go back 17 podcasts and you'll get the same thing. So that's why there isn't a repeat in the podcast world. But can I stay on the radio track and say, did you notice that we had a new voice on the show last week?
We had, I won't say an old voice, we had a very wonderful voice on the show and a good friend of the Sun Show. That was Jane Powers. I did indeed. It was, I think the note that I sent to you at the time was I would happily listen to her read me bedtime stories, not to have connotations of non-gardening format, but Jane's voice is one of those that I would literally listen to all night. She is just so beautiful at reading and saying exactly what she did on such a wonderful subject as well. It really was a real treat, if I'm quite honest with you.
Absolutely wonderful to edit as well, and it's always good when you're editing. But did you listen to the clarity of the recording, those birds in the background? It was like you were, we should do more outdoor recording, because it was like you were in the back garden with her, the microphone and pickup and everything. It was absolutely wonderful. But I didn't say it at the start of the show, and I just kind of slipped it in midstream, and suddenly she's back on our programme, and we'll have more of Jane again on the Sod Show very shortly.
I hope so. For those who aren't aware, Jane is the Sunday Times Ireland garden correspondent. I say Ireland in brackets. She's the Sunday Times garden correspondent, and you can catch her every Sunday. I know they're behind a paywall, but her articles are more than well worth reading, and her first book is also available. I know we had her on the Sod Show discussing that sometime a while ago as well, and I believe she has a second one on the way, so hopefully we'll have a little bit of an interview coming up on that as well in the hopefully not too distant future.
And you gave me a great excuse to play some Dana, All Kinds of Everything last week, which I really liked. Come here, we're way off the topic of gardening, horticulture and landscaping, but we went from the last time we spoke, it was just deluge. I think it was 40 days and 40 nights of rain, and where's Noah's Ark? But now we are in the sort of permafrost of February, and we've had a bit of a run of, you know, dipping below zero every night for a few nights in a row, and that's got to make the ground pretty hard to work.
It does, and it doesn't. There's pros and cons to it all, Brian. My mom, God bless her, used to say, you know, that when it was cold, that I remember we had a caravan down in Arklow, and she used to tell me to go out and run around, and it would make you warm, which it did. But there was also maybe a lot to be said, you might say, for taking a brisk walk in the cold air, that it would nearly clear what ails you, if you'll allow me to use the old anglicised Irish variations of the word. And equally in the garden, there's a lot to be said for a little bit of the sub-zero temperatures probably doesn't do, horticulturally much harm. It makes guys like me a little bit patient in getting certain things done. But the upside about working in the garden that I'm working in or working on at this moment in time is there is little to no debris or mud, wet debris, should I call it, wet soil, coming through the side alleys or the house, and little or nothing to clean up. You could nearly drive an articulated lorry across some of the soil at this moment in time, and it would not make a lick of difference. No compaction, no footmarks, no nothing at all. So in a sense, yeah, it's a good time. In a sense also, it's not great. I would suggest maybe if you wanted to go and lift a tree, lift maybe certain plants, my apologies, and equally the planting of certain plants as well, in fresh compost, in fresh soil, in bagged soil, it can be done, of course. Anything can be done in this day and age. So in a sense, it's a little bit of a hindrance. In a sense, it can be a little bit of an added cost to a guy who builds gardens like myself. But in reality, it doesn't really affect a whole lot. Modern day has changed a lot of things, and I think it's fair to say that unless we're in the floods or the snows, the two extremes of it, you would be hampered by that. And we refer logically and often enough to the 2010 winter and the record rainfall floods that we had subsequently following. But no, we're not that bad. It's not a bad time, and I've been out in the shorts this week as well. A little bit cold at the best of times when you're standing still, but I guess if you're working in the great outdoors, I say working, you shouldn't really be standing still that much.
He's back in the shorts, and it's only February. You're in Ballybockle. Yeah. I always get worried about how to pronounce that, but Ballybockle, I think, is correct. And I am in Baldoyle, and would do a lot of commuting into the city centre of Dublin. And Dublin got spared a lot of the snow, but it does sometimes come down as south as Balbriggan. Did you get any out your way, or were you free of snow?
Well, it's a funny thing. We 4-year-old Ella, who the last time she saw snow probably wouldn't be able to string a sentence together, and I believe it was about 2 years ago maybe, and we really didn't have a whole lot of it. So this was kind of our first time to see snow falling on Dad's Jeep, to the point that you couldn't see the logo on the bonnet. At the same token, did it stick? No, it was pretty much gone by the next day. The only problem we had was, I think, every morning going out and breaking the ice off the hens' water and making sure that they could get what they needed from it, equally for the birds in the garden. But apart from that, I have to say we were fairly okay. It was interesting to see the farmers on the far side of the road of my from where I live. You can hear maybe the shiver in my voice just from standing still at this moment in time. Give you an idea of how cold it is when you don't do a little bit of work in the great outdoors. But the farmers were literally on the far side ploughing the fields the last couple of days, which is nice to see as well. So I'm obviously not doing something wrong if I'm working in the great outdoors, and they are too. I'm obviously on par, or seem to be doing things okay.
Ooh, I made it to the grapevine, and I'm just about to lose my mind.
The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM. And brought to you in association with Greensax. Compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at viva-greensax.com. Peter, I can't get used to that new domain.
It's not a hyphen, Brian. Nobody knows what a hyphen is. It's a dash. It's not the one that falls flat on the floor. It's the one that goes in the middle. It's the dash.
Hyphen dash. Okay. Dash.
No, it's not a hyphen. It's just a dash. It's just a, you know, like a dash of lemonade. You know, instead of, you know, like a gin and a, yeah, dash of tonic, basically, or whatever you want to call it.
/ dash / Okay. That's Green Sacks. Check them out in the supermarket where you can drop them into your trolley.
Google Green Sacks, Brian. That's what you do. Just Google Green Sacks, all one word, S-A-X.
And you can also use Green Sacks, not just in your compostable bin in the kitchen, but you can also wrap it in the brown bin in the garden. Or now you can use Green Sacks for pooper scooper kind of stuff. You can, for the doggy bags. Did you hear about this?
I did, Brian. That was a press release. I think we put up on sudshow.com. Well, it would have been 2014 now, but yeah, of recent anyway.
He never misses a press release. You know, some companies don't do press releases anymore. They just do tweets. Everything in 140 characters. Anyhow, if you want to contact us on Twitter, we're at Sodshow. More contact details at the very end of the programme. Peter, it's into a new year, and with new year comes New Year's resolutions, and people have all great ideas of what they're going to do with their garden and how they're going to attack it. What is in vogue? What are people turning to this year?
Funnily enough, something that came up in last week's programme a little bit with, was part one or maybe part two with Eugene, but also was an article that Fionnuala Fallon, also a former guest of the show, she's the Irish Times garden correspondent, and we posted this up on the Sodshow Facebook page, that's The Sodshow. And Fionnuala's advice was basically very, very simple. Just clear out the whole damn garden and build yourself a brand new one. Two things happened, I guess, over the, let's say, the 2008 onwards period, and 2000, maybe 5 to 2008 period, and that was basically we went a little bit bamboo, a little bit deck, a little bit tropical planting, and it was very much a case for a lot of inverted commas gardeners who just chose to put in plants and gardens that maybe looked a little bit exotic. The 2010 frost, the minus 18 Celsius on Christmas Day, and the record flood, they pretty much, and again this is something that Eugene brought up, but they pretty much wiped out what should not or what was not able to horticulturally grow in this country. They knocked them all on the head, and what you've got is, you might say, the remains, almost like a historic building that was neglected, where buddleias and ivies and plants, nature essentially took over, something that I see en masse or a little bit more so on the island of Inishmore. When you leave it to the elements, it falls apart, and a lot of gardens have been left, and I guess are suffering that little bit of neglect that has logically happened. Some of it may be financial, some of it may be for other reasons, but essentially it's gone to one side. My suggestion, and again, a former guest of the show, Matthew Jebb, would also tell you, gardens have a life expectancy. Well, they're not his words, but generally speaking, it's every 10, 15 years, wipe the thing out. So if you go back to 07, maybe 06, 05 when you got it done, your garden's now 10 years old. Start from scratch, clear the whole thing out, take a little bit of everybody's advice and build yourself a new one. The kids were 5, they're now 15, they're now going to discos. They were 7, they're now 17, they're now going to college. Build yourself a new one, get on with the programme. That's it.
Okay. We're into a new year. We've just passed the registration deadline for Irish Water. You are a fan of water butts for your garden. Are they all sold out at this stage?
No, the water butts are still a big thing. I know my garden is quite large, as you'd be well aware, Brian. Down the back of my garden, which is where they have my, I guess, my workshop built, two water butts you'll find is a heck of a lot cheaper, no disrespect to the plumbing trade, than getting a plumber to run a pipe all the way down to the back of your garden and install a water tap for you. In short, it's also a little bit more, if I'm honest with you, money firmly to one side. When your 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 7-year-old kid is coming home from school and saying, Daddy, we should plant a buddleia, or Daddy, we should put in an insect foot, I think the next thing that probably follows just a little bit after that is, Daddy, let's get a little bit of water, but let's turn off the tap, let's conserve a little bit of water. So, you know, I understand there's a case for economics and being a little bit savvy with your money, but at the same token, there is a lot to be said for just doing your little bit for the environment. If you do nothing else in the garden and you're not going to go for that avant-garde, maybe revamp up the whole thing. Water butts are very inexpensive. Do it yourself on a Saturday afternoon kind of a thing and you'll nearly fit it yourself from a downpipe. They're an absolutely great invention. We use it for the hen's water, we use it for washing the cars, pretty much every single thing you can think of that's outside of the house, that's exactly what we use it for.
And from 2019, when the meters are read for the first time, it'll start saving you some actual money. But get your butts early, because by 2019, everyone will be buying them. And you heard it first on the Sod Show. Another way to save some money, the final thing we'll have time for on the Sod Show today, you said throw out the old garden, get a new one. That's going to cost a bit of money, but there's tax incentives for people to do that.
Yeah, we had the revenue commissioners. Again, we'll put a link into the show notes up on sodshow.com. But I know we had revenue commissioners on, and they do have grant saving schemes where you can claim back the tax over a two-year period, I believe. But it's for gardens that are over, €5,000 and over, and that's inclusive of VAT. So a little over €4,000 ex VAT. If you spend that much, you can go and claim it all the way back. And it goes up to a certain amount, which I believe, and I'm open to correction, this is about €20,000 or so. You can claim it all back indeed. And I know, just on the water butt note, I know Fingal County Council, I'm unsure on this now how it works with the various or through the various boroughs, but I know when I bought my water butts some years ago now, I was able to buy them with my bin tags, and obviously you could claim your tax back with your bin tags at the end of the year. So that may be possible in some boroughs, but you'd have to check it out with your local councils.
Because I think the tags have all gone Panda and Fingal, but worth checking out, because if the council have any butts left, they'll have a good price on them too. So, Peter, what's next for you?
For me, literally, as soon as I get off the phone to you, I'm going to get a quick cup of coffee, and it's back to planting. We have compost that we kept in dry store over the last few days, so it's not frozen, thank God. Equally, the plants were kept in dry store in a little bit of shade. Some may say that's harmful to the plants. It's not. It, I guess, reduces transpiration, or that's the fancy word for evaporation of water from plants. It slows down the growth ever so slightly. But the biggest thing was the plants weren't frozen. They're in plastic pots as well, so it won't make a difference either. A little bit of that to continue on with, finishing off this garden, and then literally straight into the next one over the south side of Dublin next week. It is very much a case of business as usual, and it's a brighter, seems to be very much, Brian, something we noted while Wilson, our good friend Mr. Pickett, was playing during the interval there. You know, there seems to be a little bit of a brighter lift in the air as well, which is great to see and great to hear. People seem to be smiling. I passed a guy last week in my own hometown of Ballybohol, and he was having an ice cream cone, and I said, "Is it not a bit cold?" And he looked at me in my shorts and said, "You're one to talk." He started laughing, I started laughing, and he just turned around to me and he goes, "It's good to be alive, isn't it?" And I'm kind of going, "Well, actually it is, you know." But there's a lot to be said. Look, anybody who gets into this business of working in the great outdoors, Eugene again hitting it, Jane Powers will tell you, anybody involved in it, there's a little bit, you don't do it for the money, you do it for the love of the game. And it is good to be working outside, even in this frosty Friday, beautiful afternoon in this wonderful country that we live in. And it's also good to talk to you again, Brian.
Me thinks it's the full moon and the ice cream and the shorts. It's some scene, I can absolutely imagine it. It's time to say goodbye time. Do you want to do the outro and thank our sponsors?
Our sponsors, Greensacks, they're not .ie. It's a Greensacks. I still have to get used to this myself. I know they're Power Green IRL on Twitter, but they're Viva Green Greensacks. .ie. Is that correct, Brian?
That would be correct, with a dash for the hyphen. Go ahead.
yeah, okay. Well, we're still getting used to this one. But thanks to Greensacks, an Irish born and bred great product from the two brothers who we get on with famously well at this stage of the game, and longtime sponsors of the show. Cheers, lads. It's, as I've always said, good to and always great to have your name upon our football jersey.
And it's absolutely wonderful into the fourth year next month in March. just some ways you can get in touch with us if you want to come on the Sod Show. You do want to get in touch, and it's at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook. info@sodshow.com is probably the slowest and best way to get us by email. Or you can just visit us at sodshow.com and check out all the wonderful blogs that's maintained by Katrina Redmond.
Indeed, Katrina Redmond. Oh, one more thing, Brian. If people are on or listen to the podcast on iTunes, they have an option there to review and rate, or equally in Stitcher. If you think we're rubbish and terrible, you have our permission to say so. I've used the French variation of that word in the past online, but also if they wish to do that and tell us that we're great and give us a 5-star review, it would be very much appreciated.
With that in mind, go review us now, and we'll catch you right here on the Sod Show next Friday at 3 p.m. From myself, Brian Green, and himself,
Peter Donegan.
Do take care. Have a great week.
Bye bye. Bye bye.